Right on, Bears fans. Another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Jason McKee in the building, and we are not alone. Joining us today, none other than former Chicago Bears defensive and defensive tackle, defensive line specialist, drafted in the fourth round, ladies and gentlemen, back in 2009, 7.5 sacks as a Chicago Bear and just a dominant force on the field. Henry Melton in the building, ladies and gentlemen. Clap it up for me. What's going on, my guy? What's going on? It's in phenomenal shape, dog. I'm tired of you bringing people on that are still in the gym actively, bro. You ain't got no teammates that just didn't let it go.
Man, the ones that let it go don't want to be on camera. That's
right. Right, right.
What's going on, man? How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm good. No complaints my way.
Still full from the barbecue yesterday. They had the alumni day. We got to see all of you guys up there. It was a really cool moment seeing all the different generations come together.
Yeah, I was up there acting up. I don't know if I'm going to be invited back. I was over there grabbing the PB&Js, the snacks. I had the slushy machine. Everybody tried to follow me. The person was like, nah, those are for the players. I'm like, hey, I paid my dues, man.
I hear you. You sure did, man. I mean, just looking back at your career, and I remember you as a rookie, you know, a young guy out of University of Texas, extremely athletic. You played running back at UT, made the switch to defensive tackle. You was a Pro Bowler here for the Bears in 2012. And, you know, after I had left here, and it was just good to see how the transition and the jump that you made from you came in as a rookie and to see the success you had throughout your career. It was definitely great to see, you know, especially a great teammate like Hen Mel. He was a great teammate, awesome player, great person, great father now. But talk about what's life like right now for Henry Melton. Like, what have you been up to these days?
Man, I've just been full-time dad. You know, obviously I'm in the gym. I do a little bit of some training. This month I've been running some events for the Bears. I've been running these, they call it the Mini Monsters, but it's like a Play 60 of their own version, where I've been, you know, going to different schools and being hands-on, letting the kids learn about football, you know, saying some encouraging words, you know, things like that. But it's more of, I'm just always active. I'm always doing things and just out and about.
Can't go wrong there. Can't go wrong. And I didn't mean to short you there. I said 11.5 sacks for Henry Melton. I want to pick the football brain, man. I love the fact that you guys were able to come in and watch yesterday and see mandatory mini camp. But I want to get the perspective of somebody who played on that line, because I've heard from John Yurkovich, who's on the show, and many people that look at the practices today and they just kind of, there's always a chuckle from the former players that played in the era where you had to do a little bit more during this time. When you see kind of the padless practices and things like that, where you're taking your time and everybody's moving in slow motion, and when they are moving at a faster pace, it's really kind of more of an offensive drill than anything else. Does it feel like it's kind of gotten to a meaningless point for the guys in the trenches this time of year, where there's no pads, guys are getting irritated because they're pulling on shirts and stuff like that? Do you feel like it's kind of just lost as much of an impact as maybe it had when you were practicing?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I'm all for, you know, safety and health of the players and longevity. Like, I mean, by the time I turned 30, I was tapped. I ain't gonna lie. I was done. I was cooked, as the kids say it nowadays. But that was when I was, I didn't come in first round, like, you know, all these accolades and stuff coming out of college. Obviously I switched positions and, you know, I had to grind to learn defense. So it was just like, you know, the 2 days for me were, you know, they were beneficial, but boy, man, I was hurting, especially coming off you have that late bowl game, like your senior year, and you go straight into like 2 weeks of prep for like combine pro day. Like, there's no days off and you go straight into rookie, and then you're trying to, you get drafted, then you got to still try to find your niche. I mean, that's why I told the D-line coach. He came up to me yesterday and we chopped it up. And I was like, he asked me if I wanted to come say some things to the guys. And I'm like, dude, I mean, there's a lot of guys. He's like, there's a lot of guys on the fringe. I mean, like, for me, like, I came in as a D. I was about I got down to like 240, like two. Mm. Like, I was light. I got skinny just so I could be quick off the ball and come off the edge, at least get a good pass rush if they needed me. And then, you know, I got injured, and then it was like they kind of redshirted me with the IR tag. So it was just like, you know, I tried to find my niche, and then it was like, you know, where can I fit in? You know, I got with Tommy Harris, learning interior, got with Matt Tuina, got with Double A, like learning the inside, the nose, like just so if anybody gets injured or something happens, like I'm flexible to play every position on the field. So it's like, you know, I literally played every position, like through, you know, my rookie season to, you know, up until I was solidified as three tech. Like, I still rotated everywhere on the field. So it's just like, you know, getting the most out of it that you can, like, to stay in this league. But back to the, you know, what you asked for, like, about the, you know, the padded practice. I'm like, I don't know. You can, like, I'm all for longevity. And you can still see the guys we're still getting after. I mean, you can still work on, like, not every, like, there's a lot of bull rushers in this league. But, I mean, to work on your finesse and use your hands and get their hands off of you as a, you know, interior, especially interior. Because once these guys are normally, most of the time, they're heavier than you. So it's like, once they get their hands on you, it's normally a wrap. So, I mean, it's good work to, like, swipe, use your moves, work on everything you worked on in the off season. You know, I still see a lot of positive for it, though. Especially for, you know, D-line, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, here I want to ask you, you know, in this defense, you play in a similar defense that they're running up there at Hallis now. And, you know, the three technique, like you were talking about, is definitely one of the key pieces of this defense, you know, running smoothly and being effective. What are some of the characteristics and traits that you think a three technique must have in this defense in order to be successful?
Oh, you got to be explosive. Like, number one, you got to have that quick twitch. You got to be explosive. Man, like, that's all I did, to be honest. It was like, that was my game. I had to come off the ball. Like, whether it was good, the play was going way over there. Like, you had to have speed to chase it down, like, if you made a mistake. But, man, you had to come off the ball. You had to have some, you know, just like that quick twitch. You got to be able to make a move, get to a move very quickly off of a, you know, run the pass. I mean, you just got to be athletic to play this position. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like, you can't be a big hog, big clogger to be at this three. You can be strong, but you got to, like, I was never a big weight room guy. Like, I lifted, but I was never, like, maxing some crazy numbers, or squatting crazy numbers. Like, I used a lot of my athletic ability to win in pass rush. I think that's where, because, like, my Pro Bowl year, I didn't have, like, double-digit sacks. Like, I was just disruptive. Like, that's what a lot of other, you know, coaches from other teams would, you know, talk to me after the game. It was like, man, you're just always there, just always in the way. So it's like, this is like, you just got to be, like, try to mess up whatever flow that the offense is having at the three tech most of the time.
Do you see any of the traits that you had that made you successful in Jervon Dexter, who the Bears brought in last season? He started off camp this year. I'll say he looks a lot leaner. Definitely looks like he understands the position. He went from a two-gap system to now a penetrating style, and it seems like it's kind of clicked in his mind. He's coming off the ball quicker. But do you see any of the traits that you had in Jervon?
Yeah. I mean, just from, you know, locking in on the D-line yesterday when they were running ones versus ones, you know, obviously with no pads, but like you like to see, you know, the come off, like staying low, you know, using his hands, just like just seeing if he has that, you know, that explosiveness to get to that second level in the second pass rush move. But I mean, I liked what I saw, you know, once the pads come on and, you know, preseason, you know, you'll be able to see a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah, here I want to ask you, so you at the University of Texas, the first 2 years you started off playing running back, and then the switch came about to the defensive line. So it's a two-part question. What made them switch you to defensive tackle, and did playing running back actually help you during your time playing on the defensive line?
Yeah, I mean, anything like offensive skill-wise, anything where you're in a skill set and then you move to a – it's almost like a skilled position, man. Like, you just got to be – you just got to have quick feet, good balance. Like, running back, you got to be able to, like, even just going through stuff where everything's hitting you, like doing the drills and all that, just where your balance and equilibrium, like, you can stay focused and stay locked in on what you got to get done. But, yeah, I mean, I've – just from transitioning from – running back to defense. I mean, I came in my freshman year, I came in with Jamal Charles. So, I mean, we won the national championship my freshman year. He was scored 12 touchdowns. I scored 10. So it was always competitive and we were always pushing each other to get better. But it's just like my junior year, well, going into my junior year, he had just, you know, he's Jamal. Like, we're gonna feature this guy like as anybody would. So I made that. We had some seniors that left, like Brian Robeson played for a while, like Crowder. Yeah, we had some guys that went to the league as seniors and there was space to switch to defense. And I switched to, I was like, you know, I have a good chance. Like, you know, you have an evaluation just within, you know, the program of like having a good chance of still making it to the league, even if you switch positions. So, it wasn't hard to talk me into it. I like being physical. I like there's like being on that offensive side where you see these quarterbacks breathing fresh air, you know, that's your leader. And then going to the other side where, you know, you hate it, you hate to see it, and you want to put him on his backside. So it's like, I've had both feelings. So it's good.
It's so, it speaks to how good of an athlete you really are. Yeah. The fact that you can do that, right? Like, that's almost like, to me, that's almost like being a two sport athlete, because like you're switching up pretty much everything that your brain knows to the other side of the ball to go after the quarterback versus, you know, being the guy protecting them. You said it wasn't hard for them to convince you to do that. But is that something that when you were making that switch, what was the difficult part about it, I guess, is my question there. What was the part where you were like, this may be a little bit tougher than I thought?
Man, just putting your hand in the ground. Like, I couldn't, like, my stance was, I couldn't even get my stance right. I was like, right foot up, right hand up. I was like, I was bad. I was down bad when I first had a, like, we didn't run like an outside, like that actually might have been better if I was coming out of a 2-point. But no, we ran a traditional, you know, three, like outside, you know, defensive end puts his hand down. Like, that was honestly the hardest part for me. But like once I got going, like, you know, my athleticism kicked in and my instincts kicked in. But yeah, it was just getting into stance properly at the start.
Harry, talk about, you know, at the University of Texas, obviously it's the elite of the elite of high school players. And, you know, in practice and the spring game and on a daily basis, you're going up against, you know, top level talent of guys who are going to go into the league, but also have long careers in the league. How did that, you know, that daily competition, you know, help you when you came in as a rookie get acclimated to the NFL game?
I mean, I didn't play in the game I played in was, we played in like, not, I was in a low bowl game, like the senior game. I wasn't even, Like, Lovey had to fly out. Like, we were in El Paso or something crazy. And then, yeah, I didn't get invited to the combine. Man, it was crazy. I was like, man, we were getting like D3 guys getting like D linemen getting invited. I'm like, hey, yo, like I started the whole season next to Arakpo. I started mm-hmm. the entire season next to Arakpo. And I don't even remember how many sacks I had. It wasn't anything crazy, but I was on the left side. I mean, Arakpo had a lot of attention, but I'm like, I didn't get invited to the combine. I didn't get invited to the Senior Bowl. I didn't get invited to East West Shrine. Like, it was crazy. Like, and then they knew, like, they were like, is he going to play running? Is he going to switch back to running back? Is he going to play? So I had 1 year really playing defensive line. So I was like super raw. But what got me drafted was, you know, my pro day. I didn't, no combine. They all came out to see Arakpo. And we were all doing the drills together, obviously. And they were just like, okay, he's a lot more athletic than we thought. Like, I ran a 4.6 at like 270. And that was like, yeah, that shot me up. Was like, okay, he's big and he's got, you know, some speed to him. And like, even like my three cone, all that stuff where it matters, that's what, you know, drove me up the boards. So yeah, I mean, this obviously training with Rack, who's, you know, one of the best, you know, defensive ends to do it. Like, I was just going to Texas, man. You got so much talent, and just coming off, like, you know, we had a bunch of guys drafted that year. Obviously, in the latter years, we kind of fell off. But I mean, that year we had a bunch of guys in the league, and should have went. We lost one game. Should have went to the national championship, but that's for another story, another day.
Yeah, that was a different time. Wasn't no playoff system yet for the younger college fans. It was perfect or not, or you was Alabama. That was the two things. It was you was perfect or you was Alabama.
Exactly. And we were the third team out. So it was like,
wow.
You know, when you like, that seems like yesterday. Like, when you think about things like as a competitor, like, those things hold, like, they still dig into your brain a little bit still.
when you think about coming into the league, you at this point, you have switched positions and stuff like that. With a lot of the rookies that we have coming in, the thing that we always hear about is the speed of the game. What was the toughest part of you adjusting from college to the NFL? Was it that speed of the game?
For me, I mean, I don't know, like, everyone was a lot bigger, but I was just as quick. That was the thing. Like, I just didn't have a lot of fundamentals to me. So, like, me getting hurt, you know, I had a high ankle sprain that was like pretty bad. So me getting injured, like, the first, I think it was like the second game when I actually got in, was like the best thing that could have happened, because I was able to watch and learn and, you know, hit the weight room, get bigger and stronger. So, like, I feel, I don't know, like, yeah, like it was the speed of the game. And then, I don't know, everyone was huge. Everyone's big as hell. And you're going against, it's a different type of vibe, because these guys are, they're not in college. Like, we're not in dorm rooms. Like, these guys are trying to feed their families. Like, these are grown-ass men, like, in their 30s, like dogs. You know, it's like, it's a different type of energy, for sure.
Yeah, Henry, so yesterday in Montez Sweat's press conference, he talked about, you know, being a big brother to Austin Booker, you know, the rookie defensive edge they brought in from Kansas. You know, your rookie year, who would you say, who was the vet who was most influential in your development and who took you under their wing?
I'd probably say Izzy, who I'm still good friends with, because he was a guy that kind of played multiple positions as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it was kind of like that. I came in, like, he wasn't that, like, you know, I kind of had that mix of, like, trying to just get in where I fit in. Like, I got to be on this team. I got to show that, I mean, special teams. Like, my first play in the NFL, I don't think anybody knows this, was a kick return. Like, I was the deep man back.
Yep.
Like, literally my first play in preseason. Oh, I did the thumbs up. I think I'm getting fireworks.
Oh, is that what that was? Hey,
yeah. They got fireworks going on.
For the people on the podcast side.
Fireworks, like, it gives you that was crazy. Right when I said my first play. My first play in the NFL, yeah, was a kick return. I was a deep man back.
It was like the iPad was taunting you a little bit.
I know what was going on. The
fireworks for you.
I was like, Pat, how'd you know to put that in there at that time?
I didn't do it. Don't blame me.
That was dope, though. That was I looked, am I having fireworks right now?
That was phenomenal. Yeah, what perfect timing. Yeah.
Perfect timing.
That was awesome. But yeah, it was Izzy and Tommy, you know, kind of like big bros. And then, you know, like, they taught me a lot, you know, just about the game, just about, you know, like, Izzy was a special teams guy as well. So it was, yeah, looked up to those guys for sure.
Who was the teammate or player you went up against that gave you your welcome to the NFL moment?
Now, welcome to the NFL moment.
You know that moment everybody talks about where it's like, oh, this is a bigger league than I thought it was. he hit a little harder than they hit in college.
Man, I don't know. I can't even remember, to be honest. It was just like my whole like rookie sophomore year was just a blur. I was just trying. I was just holding on for dear life. Like, I was holding on. People don't even know. Yeah,
definitely. You was a little more established there. I mean, you was definitely dominating that sophomore year of the NFL, and those were the times where it was like, oh, this defensive line is about to be after you. Even that though, like, what goes into that? Because that's what the Bears are really trying to build here, right? What you guys had, where it was just a consistent defensive line of. No, like the quarterback, it seemed like quarterbacks were like, I just want somebody to not hit me at some point. Like, I'm trying to find an open lane. How do you get to that point?
Just, I think you get like that with like just chemistry. Because you got to be able to feel where the other person goes. With like, I mean, there's times where, you know, things are flying. Like, you got to be able to, sometimes you can't talk to the other guy next to you. But once you get that, I mean, like, man, McKee knows how that locker room, even going to other teams, like, you don't even know how good you had it. Like, that Bears locker room back then was insane. Like, the times we had, like, the funny, like, we had comedians who, like, we got Pep all loosened up. Like, things, like, just having that type of camaraderie, I think it translates to the field for sure. I mean, we had, like, with Urlacher and Briggs, Peanut. I mean, these guys were always playing games. But we would be locked in when time became locked in. Then we'd just get a feel for each other, you know. But I think, like, yeah. I mean, there's the chemistry, and you got guys who you can trust. And knowing that they're going to be going 150 miles an hour trying to get to that quarterback as well. And it's a race to see who can get there first.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing about, you know, the D-line noticing, like Pat, them guys competed. Everything they did, they competed. Like, they were brothers, you know what I'm saying, off the field and in the locker room. But when they got on the field, it was like, you know, they competed. But at the same time, like Hen Mel will tell you, like, when they – if they weren't living up to expectations, they would get on each other. And when you have that type of environment and chemistry to where – you know, your teammate's going to be your worst critic because you have that type of bond and relationship, and there's no egos and no feelings are going to get hurt. Like, you're trying to help him, you know, play at an elite level. That's when you know that you have something special. And I think, you know, that's what the Bears are trying to build now through these mini camps, and it'll continue on through training camp. And Hen Mel will tell you that's why, you know, he was successful. He had so many good defensive linemen come through that locker room, because they actually, you know, they pushed each other on a daily basis.
Yeah, it absolutely showed. I mean, 52 sacks that season, 2010 season. I mean, absolutely dominant. And it's so interesting seeing the Bears kind of go back to this, going back to where they last had their biggest version of success and kind of seeing some of the similarities in that as well. I mean, it different scenario because Jay Cutler coming in, he was already a veteran. He had been a Pro Bowler, but mm-hmm. even just trying to work in a new quarterback, what's that vibe like of like, all right, we got to get used to you. We got to get used to how you play, how you lead, and go out here and perform on this other end.
Yeah, well, I mean, for defensive wise, I mean, we just worry about ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, no matter what's going on, like, if offense is whatever, like, we got to put up points. This is like, that's just how the defense works, you know. Just from being on that, from switching and being on that side of the ball, it's just, you know, it's, we just worry about ourselves and let that dictate how the game goes. You know what I'm saying? If we're putting, you know, if we're going three and out, putting our offense in a better, like, we can't be having long drives and then, you know, ending the field goal or like putting the offense in a hole, like things like that. It's just like, it just goes hand in hand. Like, we got to do our part, focus on what we got to get done. No matter who's at quarterback, no matter who's doing what on that side of the ball, we got to worry about ourselves.
Yeah, here I want to talk to you about, you know, the Bears quarterback now, Caleb Williams. And, you know, everybody has had different evaluations and opinions about, you know, who he is and what he can, what he cannot be. Coming from a defense perspective, you know, you had a chance to see him a little bit at minicamp yesterday. But I'm sure you've had a chance to watch him throughout his career at USC. What do you see from Caleb Williams? What is your perspective on him as a quarterback?
I see what everyone else sees. I mean, he was drafted, you know, number one for a reason. I think the sky's the limit for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I got to see him the first time yesterday, you know, running the offense. I mean, he looked good. I mean, I see why they, you know, gave him the reins. Like, this is your team, you know, we're not even going to play games. Like, and I see, I mean, he's got skill, he can move, he just looks comfortable. And that's what you want to see, you know, but I saw both sides competing, and it was, you know, it did make me miss it. I'm like, people are like, you look like you can still play. I'm like, boy, if I go out there right now.
right.
I look good.
How the league is now, man. Shoot, you could be the punter. Yeah, we got a 6'4", 235 pound punter out there, man.
No, I would get folded at punting too. I ain't gonna lie to nobody. My daughter would be like, my daughter's like, why don't you, I miss you still play? Don't you give it one more shot? Absolutely not.
She's still asking you to give it another shot. She want to see you back out there.
Yeah, like, because she was a baby when I played, so she don't remember any of it.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh man, you know, like, I like, you know, she sees, like, you know, a couple highlights, and she's just like, oh, I want to see it, you know, get experience. And now I'm like, no. You gotta have me wheelchairing around.
What if you give us some UFL action? Maybe not NFL action, but some of that UFL action.
I'll tell you, I'm all beaten up. I ain't gonna lie to you. UFL, I'll get folded too. I'm 37, man. It's a wrap for me.
When you see Muggs now playing, like, I mean, we got guys who are Calais Campbell this year, 38 years old, and he is 38 or 39 years old, and he's coming off a 7-sack season. When you see Muggs who are able to do that, do you just look at him and just be like, bro, what are you still doing here, bro?
It's nothing but respect. That's it. I mean, hey, more power to you. My body didn't. Hey, under our system, like, going, because I feel like it's I don't know, like, playing more of like a two gap.
Yeah,
I feel as much like it might be a little bit easier on your body. I mean, like, when you're going, like, you're literally, your job is to penetrate and get crazy, like, go nuts.
Yeah,
it's like, especially in practice, because I didn't get my job until I did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to earn that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had to go. I had to show that I was going to do anything to get to that quarterback. And you had to show that in practice. And we had, you know, we had studs at, you know, offensive line. You mean we had to prove that every day. And then especially when I moved to interior, I had to do, man, I had to win pass rush. I had to beat doubles at, you know, I was 270 soaking wet. And I was like, this is when I was transitioning to show that I could, you know, play outside and inside. So I had to, you know, there was times where they ran the ball at me just to see what I was about. You know, I had to put my head, I mean, it's just a, you know, you had to go, you know, that's all you hear.
it's the NFL films. They're not piping that sound in. They just
hell no. And then you see the light. It's like that double team. It's like, you're fighting for your life. And then the light is like, oh Lord Jesus.
Oh man.
But yeah. That's at practice, man. That was 2 days. Like this, it's different now. I mean, I love that for them though. I love that for them. But man, yeah, you had to go crazy. Longevity of that position.
Did doing that during that time, though, do you feel like it prepared you more for when the season actually came? Because I feel like now we see a lot of players who basically say, a lot of teams, maybe not the players specifically, but a lot of teams to me kind of had this mindset of like, we're going to use the first like 3-4 games to get ourselves together. We not really that way. It's 17 of these things. We got a long way to go.
Yeah, I would say, like the practice, like even like when I was, you know, vetted, I was like, man, let me just get to Sunday. Let me just get to Sunday. Yeah. Our practices were harder than the game, like way harder than the games.
Yeah.
And we had just had so much talent. They're just throwing everything at you, a different scheme. I mean, that's the whole point. So then you can play free. You can play free during the games, and that's how I, you know, was able to do what I did. But yeah, like the practices, I feel, yeah, we're definitely way harder than, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just didn't feel like playing, there was like that much, there was somebody that really gave me a whole lot of problems just because our practices were just crazy
intense.
Like Henry, you had a chance to go up against. I mean, you're going up against, you know, Olin Krutz in practice, Roberto Garza. I mean, guys who are at the top, you know, of the league in terms of their positions. Like you talk about how did, like, going up against them on a daily basis, and then we got to the game. Was it like they gave you a better look in practice than what you would see in the game, or how did that translate to game day?
Yeah, I mean, just go like coming in with, I mean, those guys are some of the strongest dudes. They were some of the strongest guys in the league.
Yeah.
Like, those were grown men. Like, I saw Garza at a game, like, and we were chopping it up about, you know, how we used to go at it in practice. I mean, like, I was a young, hungry, like, I was a nuisance. Like, yeah, you know, it's like those players, the practice players that you hate. It's like, why is he going so hard?
Yeah.
But that, I mean, it all translates to the game, and it just makes it that much easier. Like, the games were just fluid for me. Like, I was like, let me just get to Sunday. Let me just get my body right and get to Sunday. But yeah, those were grown-ass men. Love going against them.
Did you have that moment where you saw yesterday, right? Little scuffle action in the middle, and then you turned, you was like, hey, this Roberto Garza, or this is Olin Krutz I'm about to get in a little scuffle with here. I might need to relax a little bit.
I don't think I ever got in scuffles. I avoided. It was more the I understand that now, because as when you got a few years in, and then you got the guy going, you know, going all out. It's like, it gets annoying. It does get annoying, especially if they're doing a little too much and it's hot. Yesterday it was hot, humid.
Yeah.
So I know you could tell, like, they were drenched, they were tired. Like, it's not, it, like, like they think it's saying, I mean, like watching yesterday, those guys were gassed. They were exhausted. Yeah. So yeah. It was good to see, man. It looked like they were putting in some great work. I was impressed. Like I came out, I was like, man, what did I say to you? What did I say to you at the end of practice? I was like, we're going to Super Bowl.
Yeah. He's like, man. He's like, look at this guy. Look at that guy. We got this. We're going to the Super Bowl. He's like, look at Caleb. Hey,
it's a lot of media members out here starting to just sprinkle that in. Right. But they keep giving themselves an out. They're like, the Bears could go to the Super Bowl, or they could be, you know, one of the worst teams in the NFL. It's like, all right, pretty wide gap on that dog.
There's no way.
Just looking at this defense, is this defense, we heard Keenan Allen say, he said, very much like you, that they're annoying because they're chirping, they talking, they doing all of this, but they look like a top five defense. Do you think that this is maybe the offense ain't there, but do you think that this is a Super Bowl caliber defense that we have coming into this season?
I mean, I just don't see why not. I mean, the defense is solid. We look good. You know, we got all pro. We got Pro Bowl. Like, we got pieces. If ever, you know, health is obviously a huge part of this game as well. You know, if everybody stays healthy, I think, like, I don't see why we can't get at least 10 wins in this. I don't understand. Like, just off of the defense alone. And then you got we got playmakers, man.
I'm telling you.
Come on. Like, Houston was that close. Like, why not us?
Yeah.
Why not us? Like, we got the pieces now. Like, I see it. I see it, the formula coming along. Like, we got guys you could just put the ball in their hands, especially on offense, just to, like, let them work. You got Swift. I mean, all the receivers just came in. Tight end, like, come on, man. We can. I think I. There's no reason why I can't believe that this team can't. I mean, we should have had 10 wins last year. I went to a bunch of the games. Like,
yeah, close.
We were up on Denver by like 20. Like the Detroit. Like we could have easily had 10 wins last year, and now we just got even better. I feel so. Yeah. Why not?
100%, man. I'm gonna get off the football field and talk about, you know, lifestyle and health and stuff like that. You talked about working out twice a day. And like you said, you was a guy who played it around 270, you know, even bigger than that at sometimes. And now you look like a lean tight end. You know, I saw you yesterday. I'm like, damn, that's Henry right there. Like, what's the secret? What are you doing, man? Like, I know your IG tag is can't eat right, but obviously you are eating right because you look so good. Like, you've been health-wise. So what's the secret, man? What are you doing? Like, talk about your lifestyle.
I mean, it's not easy. Like, I can't eat right. I really can't, because if I did, I would be even leaner. I would have more cuts. But so it's just like, I did once I got done, I was well over 300 when I was, you know, when my career was like, at one point I stepped on the scale, even for Chicago one season, I was about 310. So, you know, losing the weight when I got done, I just did. It was not like I didn't go full keto.
Yeah.
But it was more of just like working out, like lifting, burning more than what I was putting in, and just watching my carb intake. Like, that was it. Like, and that's what I kind of try to, I saw what my, like, no, that doesn't work for everybody, but everybody's body is different. But for me, like, just watching like the calorie and the carb intake, and then just burning more than what I was putting in. And like, I mean, the weight, but I just don't think I was supposed to be that. I mean, I played running back. I don't think I was supposed to be that big anyway.
Was it difficult to get that big for you, or was it easy for you to add the weight when you made the switch?
I mean, when you eat, like, you go gain. Like, I like food. It wasn't, well, I wouldn't say it was too hard. It wasn't too hard to gain weight. But losing it when I was in the league and I was used to burning it, like, because I got over 300, and then I was like, damn, man, I'm losing, like, my key component was my quickness and my elusiveness. So, like, I tried to, you know, I wanted to get back down. It was just hard because you just like, you just do like, cause you don't want to be hungry like while you're playing. So it's just like, and you get used to eating like 10,000 calories a day to try and hold the weight. And then you try to switch it off and then you get hungry. Like, can't play hungry, man. I was like, I feel lightheaded.
Y'all said y'all was getting? Y'all was getting Chipotle and Portillo's on Friday when y'all was playing?
So. Oh, man. We would have that's how close we were. We would have D-line dinner every week. Like, and we would go, you know, it was just somebody else's time to, it wasn't no like rookie dinner or something crazy. Like, we wouldn't be going crazy, but every week somebody different would pay. But it was just like a time where you just put your phone up. And then most of the time it was somebody turn to pay, but if somebody touched their phone before dinner was over, then they would have to. So like,
yep.
Now that's a good way to do it. I ain't gonna lie to you. I might implement that. That bring back conversation right there.
Yeah.
That's not a bad dinner tactic.
Yeah, no, we would do that once a week, and it was, you know, it was good. That's how close we were as a unit.
Gotta love it. Absolutely gotta love it. Yeah. I think that, you know, the Bears fans out there love your prediction that this is a Super Bowl caliber team. I'm sure that this will be picked up by multiple outlets of former Chicago Bear believes the Bears are a Super Bowl team.
Hey, you can't tell me nothing different. Like, anything's possible. It's just like, it's not. Like, you can start off the season, you know, undefeated, whatever, 10 win, like, and then you just, something happens, injury, like something happens where you cool off, you don't have that, the other teams figure you out. Like, I feel like Miami did that last year. Like, they were just cooking. And then all of a sudden, everyone was like, all right, we got you. We're figuring out what the hell you're doing. So then it's like last year, it was anybody's moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miami kind of got screwed too. They got sent, dude, they get sent Kansas City and that snow.
Yeah, and it was like -30 degrees. It was like -30 degrees, man.
Yeah, what? They got hit. See, that's what happens though. But see, they cooled off though, because I feel like they were in the front of the half home. Yeah, literally. Pun intended, they cooled off. Because I feel like they were in the front runner at first, weren't they? Like, they were leading, they could have had home field. That was on them.
Yeah.
So they let Casey get that and get frozen out. So
hey, he said, win more games. I ain't mad at it. Henry, appreciate you pulling up to the show, man. Appreciate you rocking with us today. Let the people know where they can find you. Let the people know what you got going on, man.
Man, you can just find me at Can't Eat Right, like you said. Like, follow me. It's mostly me eating and hanging out with my daughter. That's about it.
Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it, man. Great. Let us know how you guys feel in the comments below. Do you agree with Henry's prediction of Super Bowl?
Come on, man. Why not?
I hope he's the most right person in Chicago, dog. Like, hey, see, we need something.
Watch the Sox
in the Cubs. Run it back. Tell him, Henry, what as players, what do we play the game for? We ain't just playing just to have – we playing for rings. Like, we want championships. Like, you know.
Exactly.
Listen, Chicago needs something. We had to watch the Sox and the Cubs yesterday. Go through a goddamn whose bullpen is going to suck less competition. The White Sox lost that, by the way. But we got nothing left, dog. The Bulls are promising point guards. There's 9 point guards on the team. Chicago Bears, we need you, dog.
Yeah, we
got point guards
we need
promised draft spots.
We need whatever that Dallas energy is, except for the you know, the team. But, like, they got the whole – they got every sport, you know, winning it. So we need to bring that energy to here with the Bears. Why? Like, we got, man, we got it. Like, I was excited yesterday. I was like, especially when you see a little bit of the ones, when the ones like butt heads, that's when you know, like, we about to mess some things up.
And the offense is still growing, so hopefully there's a lot to continue to see. Gonna have a couple more OT or mini camp breakdowns coming you guys' way. Definitely tomorrow, me and Courtney Cronin back at it again, and maybe an episode later today as well. So tap in with us on that. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Henry Melton and Jason McKee, it's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.